Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Man, that's a great vet, a savvy vet. Know what he's doing, make my job a lot easier, man. Just can't wait to see him in the game, a real game. To be honest, yeah, just from the experience I have, the experience that we got coming back, yeah, I'll say so.
Winning faster, you know, not trying to have covered sacks, but, you know, just winning and being our man faster, I feel like that can help speed up the QB and then force him into, you know, bad decisions, and our guys can come clean it up.
Yeah, we'll know more tomorrow. It's going to be a few weeks, though. You know, there's something, he rolled his ankle, foot area, so we'll get an MRI tomorrow and see exactly what it needs to be done, but it'll be a few weeks. It's good that's this early in camp, so.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, yesterday afternoon, meeting with the media. Breaking bad news, I guess. Isaiah Likely, who we all expect to have a bust-out season, contract year, rolls up. News came out today, Jameson Hensley reporting ESPN that fracture in the foot, stress fracture. Mm-hmm. Optimism is that, Vinny, that he'll be back possibly by week one.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. It says small fracture in his foot. So I don't know that there's a difference between a small fracture and a large, still a fracture.
Yeah.
You know, and he'll have a boot on. And yeah, it'll probably be 4 to 6 weeks, you know, four on the good end.
And so what happened to him?
He was, this was the first time they did this, which makes a lot of sense, because what they did after the team practice, they had like another session for, I'm guessing, probably 7-8 minutes. And it was O-line and D-line. It was 5-on-5. And they were working on pass rush and pass pro. And then the running backs and the linebackers, they were working on pass pro. You know, the linebackers were like blitzing and the running backs would have to block them. And then they were working on routes. Then they had the tight ends, wide receivers, and DBs doing one-on-one routes. And he was against Sanosa Kane. And I think he stepped on his foot, you know, and rolled his ankle. And so Bob, soon as that happened, the horn was blown. Practice, and it was the last play.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's the thing that kind of sucks is on the last play of practice that's what happened. But, I mean, it's a really good drill for all groups, you know, because everybody is working on kind of things that they need to work on.
Unfortunate turn of events. Maybe not a catastrophic turn of events, but hey, look at throughout training camps. Every team, somebody's dropping here, dropped. The ACL injuries for cornerbacks is like, what the hell's going on? But Likely, as we said, you know, we're talking and we have talked the entire off season. Well, they can only pay a few people, not everybody. And he would be the one of the free agent tight ends, and all three of them are free agents, Kohler included, to get a long-term extension, we think, could be wrong. And for him, it's got to be frustrating, too, because, like, oh, man. Because him and Lamar had developed the chemistry, and
yeah,
a big play receiver. I mean, hell, he's the one that caught the tying, could have been the tying touchdown in the Bills game in the playoffs, sliding through the snow. So that sucks, for a lack of a better term. Hoping for the best, obviously.
Now, like, when you're Eric or you're Harbs or you're the coaches or whatever, and then it's like you're almost like, all right, we dodged a bullet, because it's only four weeks or 5 weeks. And it's like, all right, you know, that's why we have 6 weeks of training camp. Guy gets hurt and he's really not missing that much time. So, I mean, Likely he'll be back quick, and he'll be back, you know, if not for the Buffalo game, for the one after. And you know what, Bob, I mean, if it was to happen and everybody else is healthy, you know, you got your Zay, you got Bateman, and you got D-Hop, and, you know, you've got Tez, who's playing great, and you got Andrews, and you got Kohler. So you got enough people to get through a game, and then if Likely's back the next week, hey, so be it. We're good. We're good. So I think it sucks that it happened, but it's not something that you're losing any sleep over.
For now.
Right.
And it was also a day in which Zaire Alexander and Rashad Bateman returned to practice. So you felt, oh, we're getting cool and everything. And then you lose a guy that's going to be a key component to your offense. But as Vinny said, let's go positive here. Yeah, we'll see him at least week two, maybe, against the Browns. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. Camp resumes today at 1:15. Also heard from Chuck Smith talking about his defensive line creating pressure, which obviously helps the secondary. And as we've discussed, there seem to be some ball hawks in the secondary this year. I mean, they're proven guy. I mean, Marlon Humphrey's a guy. They got a bunch of picks.
Yeah.
We know Nate Wiggins, the upside there is pretty strong, certainly with Malachi Starks and Kyle Hamilton. So there are guys that want to get around that football. But that D-line, as Chuck Smith said, you know, helping the cause would be huge for Baltimore this year.
Yeah, and I think he's got a lot of talent there, Bob. I mean, he was going off on, you know, Adafe. And we'll see. He said he's got, you know, multiple moves. He's got that spin move that he uses. But we'll see. I mean, 8+ sacks, that'd be awesome. And, you know, Kyle Van Noy. Kyle had one nice rush yesterday in one-on-ones. He was 1-for-2 against, I think it was Rosengarten. But Travis Jones is a guy who's gonna have to be dealt with, and so is Matabike. And Mike Green, I think Mike Green's the most natural rusher they've got, and I think he knows how to use his hands. I think he's got base balance. I think he's got a spin move. I think he's got all those things. I think he's gonna be their best natural rusher since Suggs, my opinion. I just think he can do a lot of things, and the way that he can bend a corner and stuff, I think is uncanny. Now, with, like I told you yesterday, Bob, I thought Ajabo had a couple nice moves. You know, yes, it's almost like when he goes against Ronnie Stanley, I can't beat him. You know, it's like,
really?
Yeah, just, you know, instead of like, I'm going against the best guy, I try my stuff, you know? Just kind of stands up and doesn't do anything. You know, I mean, he beat a third team tackle, which he made a nice move, you know, which he always does like one thing of practice that kind of gives you hope instead of, you know, saying like he can't do it, you know. So kind of go back and forth with the job. I just wish he wouldn't stand up all the time and you know, just try, you know, try bending, try doing some things, you know, try and be creative. I mean, in the one-on-one stuff, that's the time to do it. You know, because you don't have to, all you're doing is rushing a passer, and just work on your moves. And that's what, like the other day I saw Matabike try a beautiful spin move, you know, and he fell. So what, I'm working on stuff. I got no problem with that, you know, and I just say, think the same, you know, same thing about some of the other guys. You know, I got to see Adisa Isaac. I got to see more. I got to see more from him. But like the drill I was talking about, you know, the 5-on-5 stuff, that's where like Mike Green, you can tell he's still learning, because they're working on, you know, doing stunts and stuff. And he doesn't quite know how to do it with the tackle, and he's running into people and things. So, I mean, that's why they're working on things. And Bob, did you see that? Because they put it out yesterday or whatever, that the Ravens hired a retired official.
Yeah, Tony Mahalik.
Yeah, to come and help them, you know, with their penalties.
Not break the rules. You know what I mean? But getting back to Kyle Van Noy, you mentioned him. Mike Preston wrote about it today in the Baltimore Sun. He said watching Van Noy go against Ronnie Stanley reminds him of when Mike McCrary and Ogden would go at it in practice, because to borrow praise from John Harbaugh, iron sharpens iron.
No, no doubt. No doubt about it. And Ronnie looks really good to me. He looks real good. I think, you know, I mean, you know, he'll push people. But he's so athletic. And I haven't seen him get beat. So Ronnie looks good. And Van Noy, I think, will kind of ramp things up. I think he picks his spots. You know, rushing the passer right now, he had one nice where he went in and out and, you know, and came back underneath. I thought that was a nice move. But you know what? He's trying stuff right now, and you know what? Hey, if the guy blocks me, so what? You know, but I'm trying different things right now. And that's what they should be doing.
Also heard from Lamar Jackson in the opening of the show on NFL Network talking about, is this the best team that he's been a part of? And he basically said yes. And I know it goes against the Super Bowl or bust narrative that John Harbaugh's trying to downplay, but you know, a lot of people in our listening audience and in the national media, we were talking about it yesterday with Miles Simmons from ProFootballTalk.com. Bills, Ravens. I mean, come on. I mean, somebody's got to get by Kansas City sooner or later. I mean, playoff wins are nice. Division titles are great. But when are you going to take the next step to the threshold? So Lamar basically saying, yeah, look at on paper and what he's seen so far, obviously, at training camp.
Hey, Bob, I mean,
it's a stacked ball club.
Lamar made a run yesterday against the ones. Kind of embarrassed. I thought, like, Malachi, I don't think he realized how fast Lamar was, because the angle that he took, you know, Lamar, whoo, outside, down the sidelines, you know, and they're like, oh, we'd have got, nah, nobody would have touched. He outran everybody. Even Jair after was giving him, you know, jumping up and celebrating with Lamar, because he outran them all, which was, it was impressive, because he looked really, he looks really fast. This camp looks real fast.
But the team, I mean, we know he's fast. We know what he can do. The roster, and you know, the goal is to get to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 60 in Santa Clara. It's kind of a milestone Super Bowl. And the Ravens being in it would be a pretty impressive thing to achieve.
Well, they've got the roster to do it, Bob. I mean, we keep talking about it. And on paper, they're better than Kansas City and they're better than Buffalo. I'd argue with anybody and go over player for player, and they're better. They're better. You know, so there is, if they can stay healthy, the only people that are going to affect the Ravens are the Ravens. And if the Ravens play their best and anybody else plays their best, the Ravens are going to win.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Speaking of winning, the Orioles have won 5 in a row. That's a winning streak, everybody. They're going for a sweep against the Toronto Blue Jays, a team that came into Baltimore with the best record in the American League, had been on a heater, winning of 8 of 10. They've been on fire, and the offense has been percolating, and the Orioles have just clobbered them. But they do win. A thrilling 3-2 game in the nightcap. Adley Rutschman's back, impact felt. You know, see what it's like. I mean, their pitching's going to be in flux. More are going to be gone over the course of the next couple of games, bullpen, or days rather, and the rotation. But, I mean, can the Orioles put together an offense that could maybe slug with teams? Tyler O'Neill's homered in 4 straight games. Noel, before we go to the break, should I start doing a little M&M? Guess who's back?
Back all again. Right. Don't get carried away here.
8 Come games on. Under.
Bashed against the Rockies, right?
Yeah.
Did damage against the Rockies.
Yeah.
Did some good at-bats early in this Blue Jays series. So just keep it going, all right? You don't miss pretty much an entire season, play like crap for an entire season, show up for a week, and all of a sudden it's all water under the bridge. You know, long way to go. Just like earlier this year, a 5-game win streak doesn't negate all the dozens and dozens and dozens of losses they had accumulated already.
7 out.
I think the guy who's Ball been card. Most Rutschman. I mean, Bob, and I love his hitting.
Literally just mentioned him. Yeah,
but the throw that he made on the steal when Gunner, you know, lost the ball out of his glove—that was an awesome throw.
Cubs are next, then the Phillies. Ryan Mountcastle going to be back for Philadelphia. Hit a 3-run homer yesterday. Wells and Povich and Bradish all making rehabs. Bad news, Grayson Rodriguez seeking multiple opinions on the elbow. We're going to go doctor post-haste. Probably should have just got that Tommy John surgery back in March. But anyway, hopefully the multiple opinions will give him the news that he wants to hear. So the Orioles, they've won 5 in a row. That's a winning streak. Finale today coming up against the Blue Jays. We'll give it the lineups and all the good stuff, the notes that come along with it. Ravens lose likely for the next few weeks, but hopefully he'll be back for Buffalo, if not for the Browns in the home opener. And anything else on your mind, get in here. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny, Eddie, Nolan here on The Fan. They win today. It's a 6-game winning streak. They've swept the first place team. Then they're off to Chicago, take a playoff-worthy team. And the Cubs, who are kind of getting it handed to them by the Brewers right now. Then the Phillies, who are in second place in the East. Hey, still sell. No, you're selling. We're not keeping the band together. You're still selling, Mike Elias. Let's get out to the phones. Go to Steve in Virginia. Steve, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Haven't been on here in about a year, but I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, Steve.
I won't keep you long. I just have a couple questions. Well, one question and then a comment. I haven't heard much from Yennier Cano trade possibilities. I know he has a 4-plus ERA, and I've seen other relievers, you know, gone already. And I was wondering, do you think that he'll be able to get moved? And my second part of the question or comment was, I feel like the Orioles actually getting rid of these players gives them a chip on their shoulder playing better baseball. Like, it's, you know, everyone's going to expect them to lose, and they go out and they got to go prove something.
Steve, thanks for the call. As far as Cano, I think everything's on the table. He's had a disappointing season, and he's fallen off, obviously, from his all-star year of 2023. Cano, to me, is like Dominguez. Dominguez throws harder and, you know, bigger K rate, but there's eighth inning guys, and then there's closers. And I think Cano's more of a eighth inning guy. But again, I mean, Mike Elias, they traded Brian Baker controllable years. That kind of stunned everybody, as we talked about yesterday. And as far as playing with a chip on your shoulder, well, they've created the chip. They played themselves in the last place. But now they've got their players coming back. Mountcastle's going to be back. I don't know how this would affect Mayo. It looks like he's going to play on a regular basis because the anticipation is that O'Hearn's going to get dealt. If Mullins goes, then maybe we get to see Dylan Beavers. You know, Sammy Basayo, who's only played the last couple of games because he's been dealing with some stuff, but he's 5-for-5 in the games. We're going to see him. Maybe they can bash away. They might not have the pitching to hold up on a nightly basis, but maybe they can make things interesting for sure for opposing teams. Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's up?
I need a piece for my...
Rashawn, what the hell are you doing? That's a rookie move, Rashawn. He's got us on hold, and he's talking on the other side. And then he shows up, typical Rashawn fashion, as we're leaving last night. Ryan in Baltimore. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Good morning. I tell you what, the past few 5 days I slept like a baby because I've been having fun watching these Orioles play. But I was a little blindsided by the Sir Anthony Dominguez trade. Not that he got traded, but the fact that it was to the Blue Jays and the fact that it was in between a doubleheader. You know, I thought it was kind of interesting to see him pitch that second game. Is definitely a sight to see. But one thing I noticed that in that second game, especially as we had the lead, I was kind of thinking like, man, who's going to pitch in the ninth? And you know, Aiken had already gone. Cano and Kittredge had already gone previous games. And I was like, man, this is kind of a scary sight to see. But I guess at the same time, you need to put these young guys in order to get them that experience to become big name relievers. So it'll be interesting seeing how the rest of the season in the bullpen plays out. So, but, real quick, Vinny, the one thing that I'm a little concerned with the Isaiah Likely injury is, especially since it's lower body, do you think that setback for a few weeks is going to cause any atrophy for his legs and have him be a little less explosive? That's what I'm worried about, that it might take a little bit longer just to get that strength back.
Well, he'll be rehabbing every day. You know, and he'll be working on his other leg, and he'll be in a boot. It's not a cast or anything. He'll be in a boot, you know, and he can take the boot off to, you know, put his foot in the ice tub and all those kind of things. But he'll have to, you know, he's going to be non-weight bearing. So it's not going to atrophy because nowadays there's so many things that you can do, you know, to keep the strength. It's not going to be the same as it was if he was been running and all. So is he going to be a little bit behind? Yeah, conditioning-wise, yeah, he will be. So it'll take him a little bit of time to ramp up. But, you know, being, what, 25 years old or whatever, he'll come around rather quickly.
Yeah, I just know that was the big thing with Keaton Mitchell. I know it's not severe because it wasn't a whole knee surgery. But, you know, I know from personal experience from, you know, my arms playing baseball, I broke my hand and you know, I was only in a cast for 6 weeks, and I felt much weaker in just that arm for that short period of time. So that's all I'm worried about. But I'm glad that it happened. Silver lining here, I'm glad it happened at the time it did. Yep. Versus the last week of training camp or the preseason. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Thanks
because
for
if
the
it
call.
Happens, yeah, if that would have happened week one, he's out probably for six, you know,
he's
out for
the pop.
Yeah, no doubt.
And getting back to Dominguez, Nolan, remember we had Jeff Blair on yesterday from Toronto, and he said they needed bullpen help. And I was, you know, half joking. Well, you know, they, Dominguez is right across the thing. And then we sent it to a Blue Jays fan at Pickles yesterday. And then 20 minutes later, the trade actually was consummated. So he literally had to walk across the concourse there to get into the Blue Jays clubhouse. And I did not buy a lottery ticket like I said I should. I said I should buy a lottery ticket. I did, but they didn't win. And it certainly wasn't right now.
In the pregame show, Bob, they did show him walking over with the people and stuff. It was kind of funny.
We'll come back. Take your phone calls. 410-583-1057. Orioles have won 5 in a row. Trying to make it 6 straight. Yes, there's a winning streak. Trying to sweep the first place Blue Jays. Then it's off to Chicago. Take it to the Cubs. Then Philadelphia, where Ryan Mountcastle's expected to be back because he's not eligible to come off the IL until Sunday. And he's been raking down on the farm, getting the bats back together. Maybe not the band, but can the Orioles be a pain in the ass to contending teams in the final 2 months of the season, or can they actually play themselves into some sort of consideration? Oh, Muscles O'Neal's homered in 4 straight games. Nightcap yesterday. Or in the opener, rather.
Did you think that one was fair or foul?
Oh, the second game? Night? Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, it was fair. What's the point of having a replay when you get it wrong all the time? But, Nolan, we were talking about yesterday, BBT. As the game's unfolding, you were out at one winning drive. Orioles had 4 sack flies. I mean, this has got to be some sort of record. Kind of an offhanded comment. And then Nolan looks it up. It was a team record. And their major league record was, what, 5?
Yeah. So they tied. What was it? Arias picked up the last one?
Yeah. So 5 sack flies. Or maybe it was Holiday. I can't remember. It was only yesterday. Why would I remember yesterday? 5 sack flies, 4 homers. First game, 16-4 Orioles, clobbering Toronto. Charlie Morton gets the win, Bulldogs through 6. They became the first team in Major League history to have 5 sack flies and 4 homers in the same game. Their run differential that used to be -10 whatever, they've now trimmed it into, it's still bad that we look at the totality of the season, but it's now -68. So they're putting up some crooked numbers. Are they back? Back again. 7 out. Cleveland's trading.
I mean, I know we're having fun here.
No move. Yes.
But what was it? It was almost 2 months ago at this point when they had their actual last significant winning streak where they swept Seattle.
They won 6 in a row.
Right. So, hey, I mean, we go for that today. But still, I mean, that was a moment where it was still early enough in the season where you were willing to say, all right, this could be the start of something, right? You're running out of time. You're up against it. You've dug yourself in this deep hole. But at least there is enough time between then and the trade deadline or the All-Star break or whatever the benchmark you wanted to use. And it still didn't work out. So, I mean, now you're right here at the deadline. They've completely run out of time. Right now, it's just, this is all just for themselves. I mean, this is all just to say, hey, we're not quitting on the season, which is good.
Yeah, Mantolino said the compete level's extremely high. But I said it, what, last week? The next 2 months, it's an audition or a sign of what 2026 could be like. Elias could have his work cut out for him, you know, solidifying his pitching staff. And he's going to get a couple more reinforcements back in probably the next month in Bradish and Wells, slow playing them, and rightfully so. Batista's probably done for the year, I would think. And I know Daniel Allentuck said it's not absolute, but why even bring him back at this point in time? And going back to Steve's call as far as the closer is concerned, hey, just play a hunch. This is where you hunch. You know what I mean? Well, you know, Cano looks like the man. Now you play your matchups if you try to secure as many wins. That was the guy's first save last night.
Corbin Martin. Yeah, journey. 29 years old, journeyman. Didn't expect. I don't even think
he's interesting, but it is what it is.
Well, yeah, but 2 in scoring position with 1 out.
Let's ride that wave, baby. But, hey, 5 in a row. They're not back. Of course not. You got to get to 500, really. We've been saying that for the entirety of the season. They get to 500. Nah, never mind. Let's get out to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's up?
Hey, I'm back, man. Sorry about the
technical difficulties. Yeah, come on, man. You're a trained professional at this stage. My buddy Vic, my brother, he told you how to do this. That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
If Harbaugh make you run laps right now.
Yeah, I'm a 20-plus year vet at this, man, you know. So, you know, but it's hot out here, man. So, you know, I'm delusional, losing my mind a little bit. But speaking to delusional, man, the Orioles making the playoffs is not out of the possibility, you know. I mean, it depends what they trade away, though. But I enjoyed that game down there. And by the way, good seeing you and Nolan at Pickles yesterday, too.
Ah, great to see you.
Yeah, man. A nice crowd down there for Tuesday, too. You know, I don't come down too much during the weekend, weekdays, you know, but a decent little crowd. But, I want to talk about a particular player, Ramon Laureano. Now, I know we got him for another year with the team option, man, but the way he's been lighting it up, I think they probably trade him, man. He's hitting 291, I think an 887 OPS. Man, like, what do you think, man? Because if we're not completely rebuilding, we just retooling, wouldn't you like to have a guy like that for $6.5 million player option, team option next year, I mean?
Personally, I would.
On your team?
Because of the lack of right-handed bats that you have, unless Tyler O'Neill can play 150 games in 2026. But the flip side, if you're thinking like Elias, and we've talked about it before, you may never get anything. His value is probably as high as it's ever been as a major league player. Because when the Braves got him last year, he sucked at Cleveland, and he helped Atlanta out of need because they were decimated by injuries in the outfield. I mean, if you get an offer, look, they got the 10th rated prospect to Toronto's farm system yesterday for Sir Anthony Dominguez. And they got the 19th rated guy in the Mets system for Soto, two guys on expiring contracts. I'm not saying you're getting a top five prospect for Laureano, depending on team needs, but if you get an offer you can't refuse, you got to pull the trigger, I would think.
Yeah, man. You know, it sounds like a golf order, man. Thing, you know, offer we can't refuse.
Where's
man,
Luca
you know,
Brasi? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but also that Brandon Young, I think he can be, you know, part of his rotation next year if he can work on some things. Though the guy's not half bad, you know. And I didn't realize he was an undrafted free agent back in 2020.
Well, Rashawn, we got to roll, man. Thank you for the call, but Brandon Young's going to get every opportunity. He got sent back to Chesapeake yesterday, but in the second half of the next 2 months, he'll get his opportunities to do something. He's had two starts where he's gotten through six innings. So why not just see what he brings to the equation? The question with him is, can he throw strikes? Always gets behind in the count and pays for it. Coming up top of the hour, Charles Walker, Baltimore Banner, talk about the Ravens. He's been out of camp. Then we got the whip around left 15, Vinny Scotty report of training camp through the first week of it, and then less than a week from now, the joint practice with the Indianapolis Colts, where apparently Anthony Richardson's looking pretty sharp. Maybe he will be the starting quarterback for the team, but that's a them thing, not a Ravens thing. Well, maybe they're trading somebody. That's why they didn't get the lineup out last night till after 6 o'clock. Let's go to Jason in East Baltimore. Jason, thanks for holding. What's up, dude?
Uncle Bob, my man.
How you doing, dude?
One of the reasons I love talking to you, man, because you're a practical guy. And you're pretty self-aware, man, and you're a man's man. So I want to ask you a question. So, Bob, if you went to the gym twice in a row, right?
Yeah.
Would you get yourself ready to join a weightlifting competition?
Well, if I went to the gym twice in a row, I probably wouldn't be able to walk for about 3 days. So that, I'm going to go ahead and say no on that. But to your point, absolutely not. No.
Okay.
Know your role, baby. You know what I mean?
Right. I teach my kids you can't give maximum, you can't give minimum effort and expect maximum results, right? And an industry like sports where you can see what your competitors are doing, you can see teams loading up, right? I don't think the Orioles ever do enough during the offseason in terms of free agency or like re-signing key players, key components to the team. They always seem like they do just the bare minimum and then expect to compete with guys. You saw the Yankees reloading. You saw what Toronto was doing, and the Orioles were like bargain shopping for pitchers and stuff like that. I'm sick of it, man.
Well, this offseason, Elias has no choice but to do that. And even with the purge here coming up in the next couple of days of the trade deadline, and yeah, I guess he's got good returns for Soto and Dominguez, but they're going to need a starting rotation and pretty much the majority of the bullpen. Who knows what Batista's shoulder issues going to turn out to be. Grace Rodriguez isn't pitching anytime soon. He's going to have to spend some dough. And that's the big question I have right now, Jason. Is he a guy that's capable of, you know, playing with the big boys when it comes to spending some cash here?
You just can't give minimum effort and expect maximum results, man. I just feel like we saw what other teams was doing. We wasn't good enough last year, but some reason we felt like that was good enough to go further this year. And you saw teams loading up. And I just think, like, yo, it's delusional to think that you was going to be, you know, so much better than these teams that was showing you what they was doing, and yet you was complacent. So that's all I got. Go Ravens. Let's get busy.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you, Jason. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Michael in Baltimore. Michael, thanks for holding. What's happening?
How's it going, guys? What's up? Just want to talk to you about Elias butchering every single trade deadline for the last 4 years. Because, I mean, it's been brutal as an Orioles fan. 2022, we're contending, and he decides to sell. 2023, we don't do enough. 2024, our big deadline move is Rodgers, who's been great now but wasn't great then. And this year, we're selling just as the team's starting to get hot. It's really frustrating. I mean, and then we have Mountcastle coming back. The guys that we need to sell, like Mountcastle, to open a room up for Mayo, we're not selling.
Well, he's got no value right now. Let's be honest. I mean, he's hitting well down in his rehab, but Mountcastle, 3 major league homers in a year. That's it. What are you getting for him? By the way, you're not cool with the Jack Flaherty trade from 2 years ago, Michael? Come on, man.
Yeah, that wasn't great though. But no. It doesn't matter what you can get for Mountcastle. The key thing is that you have to get rid of him. I don't care what we get in return. We got to open up at bats for Mayo. The kid's finally starting to get it going, and he's about to lose all his at bats when Mountcastle comes back. They're going to play Mountie.
I don't think so. I think Manzolino basically said 2 days ago that Mayo's going to play and play on a regular basis.
How are they going to play Mountie and O'Hearn? Because they haven't traded O'Hearn yet.
O'Hearn's the one's going to be gone.
Yeah.
You sure? I think Elias is going to butcher. I think he's going to end up with everyone still on the team.
We're going to end it the way. By the way, the one to be worried about if you're looking at Mayo's possible at-bats being taken away, Basayo's going to be up here soon, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess. It is going to be a mess.
All right, Michael, thank you. Not confident in Mike Elias at the trade deadline. And last year, they did get Zach Eplin, who was the opposite of Trevor Rogers. So Eplin worked out, and maybe they'll flip him. Coming up here in a couple of days. Well, what, tomorrow? Yep. 6 o'clock, straight deadline. Let's go to PT at Towson. PT, what's up?
Hey, guys. All good. Vinny, I want to ask you a few questions about the Ravens. Trenton Simpson's second year kind of mirrored Patrick Queen's second year. You know, maybe 10 less tackles. But, you know, you could see where they both were projects. It took them a while to adjust. And Trenton Simpson, again, 40-inch vertical leap is ridiculous. And, you know, his 40 time is insane. And it's just a beast. His muscle body fat is, you know, it's got to be like 5-6%. I mean, he's a monster. I can see him having a big year. But if he doesn't, a guy that went to your school, Iowa State, Jake Hummel, they signed from the Rams. Mm-hmm. And I know he's mainly a special teamers, but do you see Hummel, who's a 4-5 guy? So he's got some skills. Do you see Hummel as a guy that could help out this year on the regular defense?
No. No, not on a regular basis. I don't see it. I think if Simpson can't get it done. And here's the thing, you know, you compare Queen. When did Queen take off? When they traded for Roquan. That's when Queen took off. Simpson's already had Roquan, and he hadn't taken off. So that is the biggest concern there. And we're not going to know about Simpson, you know, because his read and react was not good last year. So he's going to play a ton in the preseason, and we'll see. We'll see. Otherwise, you know what they're going to do? They're going to put their best guys on the field. And you know who their best guys are? They're DBs. So, hey, there may be times, and Harbs has said it. I think he said it in the press conference yesterday. There's going to be times when they have 7 DBs on the field, you know, and that may be the case.
To see it. I think that's the future of the game. DBs that can tackle. And a guy you mentioned yesterday, and I think the town's sleeping on him, but of course you're not. But John Jenkins, you know, he had started 17 games the last 2 years for the Raiders, and he's a darn good player, and he's what, our third defensive tackle. Once again, when you guys evaluate the team, this team is loaded with talent. I don't want to hear about Harbaugh. It's Super Bowl or bust, whether he knows it or not.
Well, he knows it. He knows it.
More than anybody.
Yeah, and he's probably heard it, you know, more than anybody. But Jenkins replaces Michael Pierce. And what is Michael Pierce good at? run stuffing, you know, and that's where he's 360, you know, on a good day. He's a big man. And like I keep saying, you know, every time we talk, that when his group is not in, he's over on that Aerodyne bike and he's got to be riding a bike. So they're trying to get him to cut some more weight. But can he can push the pocket some because of size, but he can play to run. And he's 36 years old.
When we come back, more Ravens talk. Childs Walker, Baltimore Banner. He's been out of camp. Get his impressions of the team. 1 week in, two padded practices back-to-back. Whip around 11:15. What happened in the world of sports last night. And then Vinny's breakdown of Ravens camp so far. Surprises, disappointments, and who needs to level up here as we're less than, what, a week from the preseason opener.